Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
A reading from Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the threshold shook as the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed, and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
We will now read Psalm 138 responsively. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise.
I will bow down towards your holy temple and praise your name, because for you glorify your name and your word above all things.
When I called, you answered me. You increased my strength within me.
All who listen to your word will praise you, O Lord, when they have heard the words of your mouth.
They will sing of the ways of the Lord. The great is the glory of the Lord.
Lord is high, yet cares for the lowly, perceiving the haughty from afar.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you keep me safe. You stretch forth your hand against the fury of my enemies. Your right hand shall save me.
You will make good your purpose for me. O Lord, your steadfast love endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands.
A reading from 1 Corinthians. Now, I would remind you, siblings, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaim to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance that I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. And then he appeared to more than 500 siblings at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 5th chapter. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled both boats, so they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people. When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. In the children's sermon, you got kind of a glimpse of the trajectory of the overall sermon, the idea of looking outside the box, however cliched that term has become nowadays, right? We hear it in all sorts of business ideas. Think outside the box, you know? So why do we think about it that way when it comes to God? How does that look different? How does looking outside the box change how we do ministry or change how we understand God or how God works among us? Ultimately, what they come down to is our ideas of what the power of God is and what our salvation is. We're going to have some audience participation at this point. There's no Slido like Pastor David likes. So those on Zoom, feel free to unmute yourself and shout out. And those with us in on site in the centrum, raise your hand and I will point to you. So do we have anyone on Zoom first that would like to share how they describe God? If not, that's fine. I just wanted to offer it up to people on Zoom because you are part of this worship service and important too. No? Okay. Well, we'll go.
God is love.
God is love. Thank you very much. That is wonderful. So we'll now go to the centrum. So who here in the centrum has an idea of how they describe God?
God is all and everywhere.
God is all and everywhere. Okay, Zoom, do we have anyone? I see a hand up there, I think.
I was going to say God is love also.
Okay, so God is love. That's a very common one, right, that we hear a lot. Saw a hand over here in the centrum.
Holy.
God is holy. Do we have anyone else on Zoom?
God is always with us.
God is always with us, yes.
I was going to say God is forever.
God is forever.
God is ineffable.
I couldn't hear you.
God is ineffable.
Ineffable?
Ineffable.
What does that mean? I don't know that word. Didn't expect me to turn just beyond our understanding. Okay. God is beyond our understanding, yes. God is forgiving. Anyone else on Zoom?
The original intention
of the creation of the vision body. Okay, so seeing no one else on Zoom, anyone else in the centrum? God is about relationships. Anyone else on Zoom? Nope, okay, so.
God shows up when justice is done in the world.
God shows up when justice is done in the world. So as we wind down, are there any last minute comments from Zoom?
God is within and without.
God is within and without. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
Any last comments from the Centrum? Okay. I appreciate all those who have participated in this because it shows exactly how diverse our understanding of God is. Y'all describe God in different ways. There's a different hierarchy in some ways of what we consider the most important aspect of God. We often talk about God, and you hear in the mainstream media about God being a loving parent or the creator, the one who created all things, or the redeemer, the one that saved us, or the sustainer, the one that supports us in the midst of adversity. Or, like we heard multiple times, God is love. All of these ways of describing and seeing God are completely valid. But the way that I may describe God is different than you. And at the end of the day, the way we describe God is often insufficient. Because when we describe God, there are things outside of that description. And in some ways, our descriptors can become restricting. And we put God in the box. This idea of seeing God in a new light and God breaking out of that box is in all four of our lessons and readings today. In Isaiah, we hear about how Isaiah, the author and the prophet of this book, was lost. But Isaiah saw God, something he never expected, something he never considered inside of his little box. And God met him where he was and redeemed him. And he was then called to serve God. This idea that God can redeem us and everyone who has made a bad decision. In multiple places in the psalm, we hear about how God interacts with our lives, increasing our strength in times of trouble in verse 3, or keeping us safe when we have experienced trouble in verse 7, and having no limit on God's love for us in verse 8. So God increases our strength beyond what we can see. God keeps us safe despite us not knowing what comes next out of our little box, outside of our little box. And so often we try to limit who God loves. But at the end of the day, there is no limit to God's love for us. In 1 Corinthians, we hear Paul describe his calling by God from persecuting the early believers in church into one who spreads the word of God. And how that was only able to be done through the grace of God. In the Gospel of Luke, we see something a little bit different. We see Jesus control the world around him. Simon and the other fishers did not believe there to be fish in those waters, yet Jesus calls the fish and it fills the nets. And that happened after his directions were followed. God forced the box even bigger. The ways we describe it earlier, the ways that we interpret Scripture, is how we see God in our midst. All of the texts speak to who God is in our world. However, like I said before, they can often be insufficient and limiting. In our attempts to define God, we place God in a box. And in our quest to understand who God is, we begin to sometimes pigeonhole who God is. And in the worst cases in our world and our history, we see those that believe and act in ways that are harmful, convinced that the box or pigeonhole they've placed God in is above all. The institution of the church has historically done those things and continues to do them on a regular basis now. For instance, harm to the LGBTQIA+ community through exclusion and condemnation. Through saying those who are not heterosexual or identify as the gender they were born are outside of God's love and understanding. Harm to the first Americans or Anglo-Europeans sought to inhabit the Americas and hurt them because they considered the Americas to be the new Israel. Or harm to the black community through enslavement and forced removal from their lands, country, and cultures in Africa. Or the harm to the communities of people of color that were colonized under the pretense of bringing the gospel of Jesus to them because they were viewed at the time as savages. Or the harm to the Muslim and Jewish people in the Middle East during the Crusades, harm to those that have physical, intellectual, and learning disabilities through not being accessible when it comes to buildings and teachings. There are a lot more ways, historically and going on in the here and now, of how our pigeonholing and putting God in a box hurts others. And if you think that is not a problem in the ELCA, I have news for you, you're wrong. I was scrolling Facebook a little bit ago, and my memories popped up. And I'm going to tell you what I posted 3 years ago. I came out publicly February 3rd, 3 years ago. And I posted a Facebook message publicly coming out on the 6th, 3 years ago. I got threats. People told me that I was going to hell. People told me I deserved to die. Think about that for a second. There are those that said I should never become a pastor. And in the last 3 years, that has been lived out in how hard it was for me to find a call. Because people think that someone who is pansexual like me, because I'm not heterosexual, doesn't belong in this church, or someone who is genderqueer and not female as they were assigned at birth, belongs here as well. That harm hurts my relationship with God, and it was a problem and a challenge to get through, and it's something that even affects my life on a day-to-day basis now. Because people put God in that box and actively sought to hurt those that are outside it. Throughout all the readings, we see this idea of how expanding how we see God happens. In his first letter to the Corinthians, Paul writes about the power of God and how expansive that really truly is. The power of God brings about our salvation, and that salvation can only come from God. And moreover, that salvation is not a past event that happened over 2,000 years ago when Jesus was crucified. It is ongoing. It is in the here and now, and it is our future. God's power isn't limited to the past and what has happened in the past. God's power is in the here and now, ongoing in our midst and in the future. Think about that. And think about how that idea of trying to push forward and see outside the box that you put God in can change the world. The next few months here at St. Andrews, you will see changes. Changes in the faith formation program, right? Last week, during the annual meeting, we heard about how we need to go forward and accelerate in a jet ski to regain control from Pastor David. The fact is this. In the coming months, you will see changes in the faith formation program based on this idea that we need to expand that box, to expand our view of God and how God acts in the world. Because our understanding and our faith in God is so much more than that little box we place it in. And God is so much more than that little box. This isn't just going to be a Sunday school thing or a catechism thing or a thing just for adults. It will be throughout all of the programs that we offer here. For instance, at the end of the month, we're doing a Sunday school event about how church is more than these four walls. In Lent, we will be doing three intergenerational events about Lent, what it is, what Holy Week is, and what kind of symbols and ideas are becoming of it. And as part of that, there's a box that anyone can get that will help them through the season of Lent to reflect and pray and include some crafts for younger kids. Because we can only begin to expand that box through those conversations. I ask you, if you are scared because of the changes here in the programs, come talk to me. Because I am highly convicted that this is what we need to do. If we look at any of the reports of the younger generations, the reasons that they left the church aren't because they don't believe in God often. Sometimes they are. But because of the abuse that the church has committed. All of those things historically that I had mentioned, the things that are creating problems right now. So only through expanding our understanding of God can we ever hope to become God's kingdom in the here and now. So that is crucial to our future at St. Andrews. It is crucial to break that box and begin from the young to the old and every age in between. For God sent God's Son, Jesus, to build that bridge with us. That bridge where God came to where we are. The bridge that was built because of Jesus' crucifixion, death, and resurrection by the power of the Holy Spirit. That gospel isn't limited to those who are heterosexual or identify with the gender they were born at birth, or those who are white. It is for Black people and people of color, those with disabilities, physical, intellectual, or learning. God sees them too and builds that bridge as well. It will be hard to expand how we see God. But with faith and prayer and intentional action, we can. God includes everyone. And as a congregation and as an institution, we need to begin to live up to that. Because if we don't, people are still going to wind up leaving, and we aren't witnesses to the gospel.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.